this is season two. We are going to be professional. All right, let's go.
Here we go.
Welcome to PCI Cast, a conversation about life and faith in the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Let's hear what the team have been talking about this week.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to PCI Cast. It's season two of our podcast on life and faith in the Presbyterian Church in Ireland with Reverend Craig Lynn over there.
Hello.
And me, Ben Preston.
Hello.
It's been a while, Craig, hasn't it?
It's been a wee while, yeah. There's been a summer in between our last episode with Gordon Lyons and this episode. That's been a while.
Season two awaits, but tell me about your summer break. Did you go to the Mecca that is Port Stewart or Port Rush?
We went to neither of those places. We went to the Mecca that is Costa del Rathfrylland.
Very
we
nice.
Had a caravan on a farmyard. And we went to the Mornes and went walking and eating ice cream in Newcastle and building sandcastles. And that's what we did.
Beautiful.
What about yourself? Did you get away?
Yeah, we were up at Port Stewart for...
Such a minister.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a little bit... I was always a little bit sort of kind of laughed at those who went up to Port Stewart or Port Rush. But actually, you know, it's not a bad old spot.
Here, tell you what, we went up to the port on Saturday. Like, I'm sporting a brand new regatta fleece.
So I've noticed,
that was purchased in the regatta shop. And, like, we went up for the sole purpose of going to the regatta shop. We also went to Three Kings yes. on the promenade. But basically, we were there to get new regatta stuff.
Very good.
So, you know, nothing wrong with the port at all. It's a nice place.
Well, those memories are fast fleeting behind us because season two and back to ministry and all the rest, here we are. What have we got ahead of us, Craig? No cease and desist letters came? No knocks on your man's door?
No, none yet. The clerk of the General Assembly seems to be happy enough with us for now.
Excellent. Well, hopefully over season two, free for your consumption, dear listener. We just hope to have two guys chatting about church, talking to people about it and reminding, I guess, us all that the Lord's still on his throne and building his kingdom here.
Amen.
Here ends the sermon, but let's begin a new section for the podcast. We're going to try the news. What is happening in PCI?
Goodness knows, mate.
Let's start at the top. Before we come to our interview, let's work our way through the news. Starting at the top, Standing Commission is still standing to attention. They are interfacing with government, sending out good guidance for us. No sign of the Special Assembly. I think that was knocked on the head, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't think it's sensible to get 500 to 1,000 people in the same room at the same time in this kind of day and age. And sadly, we miss General Assembly as well. I say sadly, genuinely, I really enjoy and look forward to General Assembly. So really sad we didn't get to do that this year, and sad we're not going to be able to do it before year's end. But hopefully,
do you think 2021?
I would hope so. I mean, maybe if someone in the big house paid for the top level of Zoom, we could fit 1,000 people on one Zoom call. But I don't know.
They really like Microsoft Teams.
Oh, they love their teams.
At church house.
So love their teams.
We shall see if that awaits us. Standing Commission, no doubt,
will
send guidance down. The denomination's been putting out lots of resources for colleagues who are, as we all find ourselves in lockdown and restricted patterns of ministry. So that's been helpful. Mm-hmm. You can look at the website for stuff. I think the latest is called Refined, and that'll be a blessing, no doubt, to you. And maybe, God willing, in the days ahead, we'll see some sort of ABCs of my first live stream and that kind of thing come out.
Yeah, you're a live streamer. Yeah. You and your folks in Craigie Hill, aren't they?
It's probably not as easy as it first looks. But if you're volunteering me, Craig, for writing anything, I'm not going to do that.
That's fair enough.
Fair enough. Right. So we've done the top. What's happening at the General Assembly level? Let's go down a little bit to presbyteries. Presbyteries standing commissions are standing down.
That's right. Well, North Belfast, the presbytery I'm a member of, is meeting for the first time in person next Tuesday evening. Mm-hmm. So that'll be good to see fellow presbyters and brothers and sisters that we haven't seen since March.
Goodness. Craigie Hill is hosting Carrickfergus's.
That's because you're king of Carrickfergus Presbytery this year. Is that the right term? Or is it?
I believe that's a thoroughly Presbyterian term indeed. King Ben.
Yep.
Also moderator. Please stand. Yes, we'll host it. And we've got a hybrid function. We're going to allow Zoom. So we'll have some people who can't attend for social distancing or for health reasons or whatnot. So they will be able to Zoom in.
Oh, very good.
We look forward to that. Good news for licentiates who are eligible for a call. Vacancy commissions across the country are progressing with their vacancies.
That's right.
So that's good news. I know three of ours in the presbytery are progressing, and we're pleased as a presbytery to see that. Down south, I'm not so sure. There's still restrictions. There's a different level of restrictions, I think, down south, and certainly places like Donegal, I know, are under a larger level of lockdown than ourselves here.
Yeah, I know we're an all Ireland church, but obviously we're across the two political distinctions there, so we don't get the emails that go to our brothers and sisters in the Republic, so we don't know exactly what those restrictions are. But my understanding is that, you know, the buildings down there are capped at a certain number, so any of our brothers and sisters in the Republic can correct us on that. But, you know, it seems to be more restrictive in the Republic than it is in Northern Ireland.
Okay, on our potted journey through the news of PCI, we've done the top, we've done presbytery, local congregations. I would say most are back to a gathered worship.
Yeah, ourselves in Rathkill, we went back to midweeks on the 15th of July, just to kind of trial out our new processes and procedures. Everything went okay, so we started back to Sunday morning worship then at the start of September, and we're back to the Sunday evening worship this Sunday coming, so we're back to morning, evening, midweek, which is great. And I know a lot of churches are back to, you know, a similar kind of pattern. You know, most are meeting Sunday mornings, and Sunday evenings, if they had them, are starting to come back and that kind of thing. So it's good to hear. What about yourselves?
Yeah, we're all back. Could be, as we kind of reflect on the news, it could be that churches will be the only venue at Christmas time that you might actually be able to see friends, family. But yep, we're happy. Now, pastorally wise, there are a lot of, it's a lot different than pre-COVID and even post-COVID. There's still some restrictions that remain, isn't there, Craig?
Yeah, I know that we got correspondence through from the clerk of the assembly the other evening. Very clear, routine pastoral visits in private homes are no longer possible. And there's a full stop at the end of that sentence. You know, there are very few circumstances in which we're allowed to go into houses, which is dreadful. I know you've had a number of deaths over the COVID period, and all you really want to do at this time is sit down, put your arm around someone, and you know, grieve and mourn in the same way that we Irish people do. We have tea and buns and all that kind of stuff, and we laugh and we cry together, and we can't do any of that at this time. So it's dreadful. It's hard to be able to bring God's word to bear whenever you can't be physically present with someone. It's not the same across a Zoom call or a phone
or an emoji.
You know, it's not the same. So it is difficult, but we recognize what we're being asked to do is because we love our brothers and sisters and our neighbors, and we don't want to see this virus spread anymore. So looking forward to the day when we can get back to do that. But for now, we're very restricted in what we can do outside of Lord's Day worship and at the minute.
I think that has been a rough summary of the news and commentary and occasional preaching as we've gone through it.
Wouldn't be like us.
No doubt we'll get better at this as the weeks go on, and send in your news. And we probably won't read it.
We maybe do something like, you know, that they used to do on CBeebies, and they could do the birthdays. Lots of love from mummy and daddy and big sister and big brother. You know, we can do birthdays. Are we? We'll
did your church level. Do you do birthdays normally?
Aye.
Yeah. I know some places that do it. It's a nice way of recognising the fellowship. We may not do it on PCI though. We shall see.
We'll not do birthdays on PCI cast.
Aww. I was thinking of more like hard hitting news reports or that kind of thing. No.
Well, we can maybe end each segment with a lighthearted.
Well, how could I forget this big news? The moderator is out and about again.
Is he?
He is.
Very good.
David's well, out and doing services.
The Right Reverend Dr. David Bruce.
Apologies. Apologies, brother. Yeah, they're out and about. It's good to see.
That is good news. That is good.
I don't know if the service... are the moderator services that they do, is that still happening?
Well, we put the moderator sent us all a video. Did you get it in your emails? I know you got it. No, we put ours out. We put ours out ahead of our Sunday worship video there on Sunday Pass. And when I was on the Vimeo site that PCI have,
oh, yeah,
there was a moderator service from the 20th of September. So I don't know if there's one from the 27th, but I know he's continued at least up until Sunday week ago.
Hmm. I featured in one, believe it or not.
Oh, very good. Oh, so did we.
I went out on location and they did a wee video welcoming the presbytery and praying for it.
We were on for 2 seconds as the girls scooted past. So, you know, as we stood at the front door, we were waving like this. Yeah,
I think they've been well viewed.
We'll post a link to that if anybody really wants to see it.
That would be great. Well, we're not here just to do news. We're not here to do welcomes. We're also here to talk to Mr. John Graham on our interview for our first episode. John, you are our season opener.
Well, thanks so much for having me, man. I really appreciate that. And
is it John Graham or does it have to be John T. Graham?
It just depends. It's really helpful. There's lots of John Grahams, so that's why it's John T. John Thomas. That's why the T's there.
John Thomas Graham. I think John... I think like 30, 40, 50 years from now, when you're professor of systematics at Union, like I will happily go out and buy your systematic theology by J.T. Graham. I think you sound like a systematic theologian.
I appreciate that. You and one other person will buy that.
Yes, absolutely.
We do like our middle initials in PCI. Yeah, there's definitely a thing there. That's good.
Aye. What's your middle initial?
S.
Very good. B.S. Preston. Okay.
John. Moving on. John, tell us about yourself.
Thanks, Ben. My name's John Graham, as we've already established.
John
and I'm from one of the ports, but not Port Stewart or Port Rush. I'm from Portadown.
Right.
And I'm currently serving as the assistant minister in Hill Street Presbyterian Church in Lurgan. So had to cross the great divide between Portadown and Lurgan.
But how's that been for
it's
you?
It's been great. It has been great. The people in Lurgan have welcomed me with open arms, thankfully. And I'm loving my time there. I get to work with Nigel McCullough and Peter Wright, and that's been a real blessing. Those two men are great, and I'm very thankful for them and for their guidance and being able to learn from them so far. So yeah, that's what's keeping me busy at the moment.
Tell us about how you grew up. You were in Portadown. Where'd you worship when you were in Portadown? Tell us your story of faith. How'd you come to end up being the assistant minister in Hill Street?
Yeah, so grew up between Portadown and Armagh, close to Loughall, and Ben, actually, Ben, yes. You ministered in Finnecash for a little while whenever you were the assistant in Rich Hill.
The legends still abound of my series in the Minor Prophets.
The Minor Prophets, that's right.
I took a Minor Prophet and just went through it. They suffered greatly, but
it was great.
So Alistair sent me down from Rich Hill. It was good. Finnecash.
Finnecash is my home church. So the mother church of Armagh Presbytery, in many ways, I've planted lots of other churches off it. And actually, Gilbert Tennant actually came from Finnecash Presbyterian, who went on to found the Law College, which became Princeton University. So that's our claim to fame. Mm-hmm. But yes, so anyway, I grew up in the countryside around County Armagh.
Yeah.
My mum and dad weren't Christians whenever I was born, but went along to Finnecash Presbyterian Church. Minister preached one day, and dad said to the minister in the door, "That was a really good sermon." Minister said, "What are you going to do about it?" And that convicted dad, and dad became a Christian, and then my mum became a Christian about 2 weeks later. And then at our holiday Bible club, whenever I was around 7, it's the first real memory that I have of trusting the Lord and asking him to forgive me of my sin. So grew up then, Richmond Primary School, Clowna Junior High, Portadown College, and played lots of rugby growing up. Thought I was going to go in and be a professional rugby player. That was my hope. And between rugby and politics, that was really my two interests. Went to Queen's University, studied history and politics, and through that time felt the Lord call me to ministry and started to explore that. So that's been a rough sketch of my journey towards ministry.
And then from Queen's into Union, how did you find Union College?
Yeah, so it feels like I've never left university in my 20s, because had history and politics first, and then came back to study theology, obviously, at Union, and loved it. Love being up and around Belfast. Love exploring all the different coffee shops. It's always good in the middle of winter or autumn. And
was Common Grounds open when you were there?
It was, but it wasn't in favour.
Oh. Common Ground wasn't in favour. Interesting.
Wasn't. So, Town Square had just opened, so it became the new cool place. And then the Pocket became really popular.
The Pocket's great.
Great flat white.
You've been in the Pocket?
Listen, there's a loop here, and I'm just completely outside it.
All right. Okay.
I drink tea. Put tea bag in. Hot water.
But John, you're not going to have a sidebar here talking about coffee shops.
I think you boys just need Queens your own podcast on coffee.
Coffee in the greater Botanic area. Yeah. All the hipsters listening to us. Hipsters and ministry students.
But it was great. Going back, I loved it, right? Although in my own personal life, there was it was a particularly hard time because my mother wasn't well and mum had been ill for about 5 years. And actually, I just started into my time at Union and mum passed away on the 25th of October. So I wasn't long in, first batch of essays due, and then mum sadly passed away. So that's coming up in 4 years ago now. Mm-hmm. But very thankful too for that time being at Union, being surrounded with brothers and sisters who were great, and the faculty were great and a real support to me, and very thankful for that time. And it was lovely actually that mum was able to see me start out on that process of going into ministry, and she was very thankful for that.
That's great.
Yeah. 4 years, brother. Mm. 4 years.
Hard to believe.
Looking back on it, is there anything you could really praise, or is there anything, and then anything that you would like to, you could do different?
It's a good question. I think the level of teaching at Union College now is fantastic, and it stretched us and pushed us and made us work really hard. So you couldn't get through the ministry track now without working hard. You wouldn't make it, which I think is great. Yeah. It prepares you well for life and in ministry.
What are you trying to say about me and Ben?
I'm saying nothing. So it was great, and there's classes that stick with you, you know. Yeah. Little lines, one of the lines that stands out, Stafford said one of our first preaching classes, "Men, tell people in the church and in the back row why this text changes their life this day." And that's something that has always stuck with me throughout. And you know, we're just so blessed to be able to study systematics, church history, New Testament, Old Testament, and I loved it. I really did. Something would be different. That's a good question.
Go to Common Grounds.
Go to Common Grounds and get a 15. Partly the 15s are great. I don't know. Maybe spend a little bit more time at Hebrew. Would have been helpful, but we were doing Greek and Hebrew side by side to change the pathway whenever we were there, so it was difficult. But
listen, mate, anything over 40 in a module is a waste. As long as you, as long as you get 40, you're clapping your hands.
Yes, a little bit. In our time, well, in my time, we had a whole year at Hebrew and then a whole year at Greek.
Yeah,
and then you could do advanced Hebrew if you wished, or Syriac, but. Yeah, no, I knew that kind of changed a little bit. Yeah.
I think that was a better focus. You know, you could stick at one language for 1 year and put your all into it. Maybe something else would change is how we played on the football pitch as a team.
Very good.
Sometimes it was good and sometimes it wasn't so good. Some people put in some interesting tackles, but it was good.
I must admit, hands up, I was in the library, not the football pitch. Did you play football, Chris?
I never played football for Union College, but in that same league, I don't know if it was the same in your day, that same league, the Presbyterian Chaplaincy at Queen's had a team they played, and I played for the chaplaincy team against Union College and hit the crossbar with a Paolo Di Canio volley from about 2 yards. And if you go to the Ozone there on the Ormo embankment, to this day, that post is still ringing.
I can't believe you played against us.
I took the leather off that ball from about 2 yards, and the ball landed in the halfway line. It ricocheted that far. But yeah, I played against you. Like, I think we drew that game. I think it was 1-1. Patton Taylor reffed. So, like, I've never... love Pat and Taylor, you wouldn't believe, right? But the man couldn't couldn't ref a football game fairly to save his life. But
glory. What's that song by Bruce Springsteen? Glory days.
Glory I still wear my shirt if I'm playing football. I'm playing five a side at the Valley, whatever. I'll wear my DV shirt.
Glory days.
13 Lynn.
They pass you by.
You know?
Good times. Good times. Yeah. So very thankful.
Good.
Summary. Very thankful for my time at Union and for all that we were taught and poured into. The faculty poured lots into us, and the denomination as a whole have poured lots into us, and you're just so thankful for that, for the care and the love that they show their students.
So obviously training for ministry doesn't just end once you leave Union. You're now Hill Street, you've said you're working there with Nigel and Peter. Tell us a little bit about that. What are you enjoying there? What are you doing in Hill Street? Obviously it's a little bit different now. What were things like for you?
Whenever I arrived into Hill Street, Nigel said, we'll have a think about discipleship, what discipleship looks like here. So that started us off in a process where we were assessing things. And Hill Street, we were charting that. We had a big front door, lots of people were coming along, but we also had a back door, and there was people trickling out. And we reckoned that part of that was because of discipleship, and we needed to look at things there. So we have come up with new material, D3 material. We believe that discipleship, if you're going to do it, it has to be recreatable, has to be able to be easily defined so everyone knows what it is. You could ask all your leaders what discipleship is and they would all give you really good answers, but they'd all be different.
Yeah.
So it's following and enjoying Jesus in all of life. That's the definition we landed on. So we started that, and that's been great. We've rolled that out because of coronavirus. We're hoping to start it in the congregation, but we've rolled it out across our young adults, and it's been so fruitful. Around 50 young adults are plugged into that and benefiting from it.
That's great.
Something else that we were looking at doing was starting community outreach in the local area. There was a letter pick team that had been operating in the area from our church and from the congregation, and that was really fruitful. We have about 30 homes now in the area that we have an open door into that we didn't have just from going out to pick litter, but obviously with our eyes up to meet people. That was the whole point, encounter people. And we've gathered a little core team of folks that we were going to try and gather people from the local area and the local school and try and start something there, you know, Christianity Explored or some sort of course. And we were just about to launch that, really, and then coronavirus happened. So aside from that, all the usual tasks, you've pastoral ministry, preaching, young adults has become sort of an area that I'm looking after a little bit more at Hill Street. Mm. But you're having a little bit of a taste of everything along the way. And Nigel's great at that, and Pete, giving you plenty of opportunities across the board.
You have a year to go?
1 year. This time next year I'll be eligible for call.
You'll be waiting with bated breath for our new section of PCI Cast to inform you that vacancies are...
It's like the back page of the Herald.
I know, I completely forgot that in the news. Yeah. It stopped. Ah, dear. Just have to email the secretary's office and get the current list.
Yeah. So...
So that's this time next year.
This time next year. Crazy, hard to believe that too, you know. You're looking ahead, and it's just crazy to think that a church could potentially come and call you. And but let's see what happens.
In the sovereignty of God, yes, these things work out.
So another string to your bow, John, is that you're on the steering group for Northern Ireland Ministry Assembly, NEMA.
Yes, that's right.
How did you end up on the steering group for NEMA?
That's a good question. So I spent some time at Cornhill with Muir Casement and studied there for a year and did a placement in Mourne Presbyterian, but obviously got to know Muir really well, and then crossed paths with Phil Howe, who's also on the steering group, and one day an email landed into my inbox and said, would I like to be part of this? So I said, sure.
So it's not what you know, it's who you know, is what you're
maybe,
saying.
Maybe.
let's take it back a little bit. For those of us who don't know, who may be listening, don't know what NEMA is, how did you find NEMA?
So it was really through my time at Cornhill. All the students at Cornhill get to attend the NEMA, the Northern Ireland Ministry Assembly, for the 2 days. And we experienced it there. It was great. Loved it. And then also involved with the castle stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
some paths would cross over there. And then I was asked to become part of the steering group, which was an absolute privilege and totally unexpected, but very thankful for.
So as of at this point in time, the point of recording, which is Wednesday the 30th of of September. I would say 30th of December. Wednesday, 30th of September.
September.
Nima scheduled to meet then in person the 9th and 10th of November.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
We're still hoping to go ahead. And
so just to maybe take a step back then, John, what is NEMA? What's it all about?
Yeah, so it really is a sister organisation to EMA, the English Ministry Assembly, mm-hmm. with the idea of helping ministers, equipping ministers with the word, exposing them to sound, expository, systematic teaching of God's word, and trying to pour back into ministers, realise that ministers are really busy, that it's hard often, they're isolated, and they want to put on this assembly to refresh and encourage and inspire ministers to keep going, to keep preaching God's word in season and out of season. So we hope it's a little bit of a haven for folks. It's only 2 days, but we hope that it's a time where they can come along, meet brothers and sisters from across the whole island who are coming in to just pause, to take a little bit of time out in their week and to hear God's word being preached. And hopefully they feel equipped then on the back of it and refreshed.
And what can we look forward to in November time then? What's the dates? Somebody?
9th, 10th of...
You should know this!
9th to 10th of November. We're hoping to meet at Mays Presbyterian Church.
Good.
And Sinclair Ferguson and Conrad Mbebwe are going to teach on the book of Hebrews. So we're really excited about that. A great lineup. So Conrad Mbebwe, known as the Spurgeon of Africa. So we're excited to have these two men come and open up the book of Hebrews for us.
Well, we can certainly encourage those listening. I think there's a way for ministers to avail of in-service training or something like that.
Sure. Well, every ordained minister in PCI is entitled to a week's in-service training every year.
Yep.
For Ben and I, that week is usually taken up for us by post-ordination training.
Not me, brother. I think I have graduated.
Oh, you all done?
Unless someone's going to email me after this and tell me, actually, Ben, just because you weren't able to go to the fifth year because of coronavirus, you still have a year to go.
No, you'll get a year. You'll get an extra year. That's what the email said. But
I didn't
but
read it.
Because we were unable to avail of that this year,
yes,
we are still entitled to a week's in-service training. So if there are any ministers out there who haven't taken a week, you're entitled to it. Speak to your presbytery rep for in-service training and they can sort that out. I'm going to NEMA.
You're
the
going.
The only thing to say is that our booking is full.
You can't go to NEMA anymore. Brothers and sisters, unlucky.
But keep it for next year, right? Get it in the diary for next year. We filled out our booking. We topped it out really quickly. And
what? I can't go.
We're very thankful.
Let me just pause here. I haven't booked it yet. I haven't actually booked
this
it.
This is class. There's only one in this room who's able to go.
This has never happened, but pretty much we started.
Yeah.
We launched ourselves on social media, right? In the power of social media, create a bit of a tizzy on it.
I did notice a follow or a like or something from the Twitter account, and I assumed it was yourself.
I got presbytery clearance. I didn't want to book it until I got presbytery clearance. I got an email through from
Craig.
This is last week.
Listeners,
if only I knew someone on the steering group that could get me in.
Maybe get you in the back door. We closed booking at the start of this week.
I could have booked it last week.
We reached capacity.
I guess what you are saying, however, John, is...
Sorry, hold on. We need to take you, 10 steps back.
Will you be able to access any of the materials? Will you put it up?
Will it be a podcast? The talks will be uploaded online. You can go to our website, the NEMA website, and you'll be able to get those, which it's a fantastic resource.
Great.
Yeah. NIministryAssembly.org.uk.
That's the one.
Very good.
Yeah. It's booked!
I'm sorry. Although,
really?
If there's anyone listening and they happen to be a young adult, at the castle will be happening,
very good,
right?
John.
is it going ahead this year?
So we are hoping to go ahead as well.
Hear that, Craig? You're not a young adult anymore.
So we will
pick
anyone
what he did
under
there?
The age of 40 and above the age of 18. So
That's me.
It's
not you.
I am under. Get off. I'm only 37.
Well, there you go. So both eligible.
I genuinely thought you were 42.
No, you did not. He's just in shock, and his whole November's just changed patterns.
Well, but he could have a date for December, the first weekend in December.
Come on, Dan.
For at the castle.
Yep.
Is it in December this year?
Yeah. Always first weekend in December, first weekend in June.
Well,
at the castle.
Good stuff.
Friends,
who have you got booked for? Who's speaking at that?
We have Muir Casement coming along. to teach it at the castle. We're hoping that we're going to be able to do it, but worst case scenario, we'll maybe do a day event.
Okay.
But yeah, that's in the pipeline.
Okay, cool.
There you go, friends. Not just the podcast on life and faith in the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, but also the diary adventures of one Mr. Reverend Craig Lynn.
Oh, man.
John, thank you so much for joining us on our season opener. It's just nice to talk, to hear a little bit more about your life, where you are, and where God has you at the moment, just to get a little window into that, and to hear about NEMA as well, even if perhaps we can't get this year, to know that those talks will be up online, and also that next year we should be vote all early, all often.
get in early. Once you see it, follow us on social media and you'll be able to get all our updates, and then get yourself there for the 2 days.
Speaking of social media, if people want to follow you on Twitter, I don't know, do you reckon we have any PCIcast listeners who don't follow John T. Graham on Twitter? I'd be very surprised if there weren't any, but if none of our listeners are following you, how can they follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, John T. Graham 1. I think I'm at John T. Graham 1. So
you are?
Yeah, give me a follow. I don't know if I'd be worth following, but sure.
Or you can get him on Instagram too.
Are you on Insta?
I'm on Instagram, yeah. So
I went on Instagram one time for about 10 minutes and had to come off it. I couldn't deal with it.
I like so Instagram. Old. I like it. I like the stories. You know, that little story feature. It's good.
You're not on TikTok, are you?
I am.
Oh,
John! Right, wait to hear this. So my dog is called Ben.
He's
a beautiful, he's a beautiful golden retriever, right?
Okay.
And he does something funny, and I uploaded it, or he did do something funny, and I uploaded it to TikTok, and over 400,000 views.
Shut up, serious?
Over 400,000 views.
Okay, PCIcast is here. We need to be talking to John T. Graham about social media.
He's got to replace one of us as the presenter.
Oh dear.
There we go.
So we can follow John on Twitter there. If people want to follow you, Benjamin. Well,
I'm a very boring follow on Twitter, but Ben S. Preston, you'll get me on Twitter. And yourself, Craig?
I'm equally boring. I'm at Rookie Minister.
Now, you've had a little bit of a break, but are you coming back to Twitter and all the rest?
Yeah, I kind of went off. Last summer, I went off Facebook just for my summer holiday.
Yeah.
And I've never been back on. Mm. And that's okay. I'm okay with that. Yeah. I'm fine. So this year I decided to go off. I'm a big Redditor. I'm on Reddit.
Are you on Reddit too?
I love Reddit.
Mm. Me too.
Absolutely love Reddit. We should get a PCIcast Reddit.
We should.
r/PCIcast.
We totally should do that.
Well, before you do that, have you watched The Social Dilemma?
Not yet.
Ooh.
Is it worth watching?
It's scary.
I know.
It's frightening.
I've seen on Twitter. So the answer to your question, Ben, yes, I am coming back on.
Good.
But probably not. I'm not going to be sitting on it for hours. Not that I was anyway. I'm not going to be on just as much. But I'd seen a number of kind of big-ish names in Christian kind of reformed Twitter who just have watched that and just gone, do you know what? We're done
with
Twitter.
It's frightening. So I think this is something that we have had to learn over the last while about going on to social media, especially lots of our congregations who haven't had a virtual front door, so to speak, but have had to enter that world. And I know for us at Hillstreet, it's been really beneficial. We've picked up some new families, some new people, and people have been watching our service and far and wide, which has been great, and hearing God's word. But there definitely is a downside to it, and not to the church having a presence on social media, but just social media in general. And this program, The Social Dilemma, is worth a watch.
Some of my work in my MA in digital theology has kind of looked into this social media engagement by church, and the whole COVID experience has forced us, as you've just said, to engage with this tech, and we're not ready for it, or we're having to kind of construct the boat as we're kind of sailing along.
Do you know what this sounds like, Ben?
What?
This sounds like us teeing up the next episode of PCIcast.
Could well do.
Where we have you as a guest. We're going to need to get another interviewer. I don't know if I should be allowed the sole reins of PCIcast unsupervised.
Oh no, you have before. Remember your episode in Manila?
That's a good point. That's our second most listened to episode. I'm surprised our most listened to episode is Richie Cronin's one.
It's very popular.
Richie's great.
The Rebel Rev.
Richie is great.
He's all right.
I love him.
but we'll come back.
We'll come back. You can follow all of us on social media. You can follow the podcast as well at PCIcast on Twitter. We broke 300 followers. Go us.
Woo!
So the podcast that I present has more followers than I do on Twitter.
I am affirmed in that.
You feel affirmed? 300 people? Yeah. 300 people follow us?
Or something.
So, there you go.
Housekeeping wise, no books.
We're not giving away books because we don't want to spread coronavirus. We are aware that... also, we're cheap. That's another thing.
Yeah.
But mostly, no, genuinely, we don't want to be sending stuff through the post. We don't have to. But we know there are a couple of our listeners who haven't yet been in receipt of their book. For that, we apologise. But we will get them out to you just as soon as we get them. One of them, I know at least one of them is coming from the States, and I ordered it in July, and it's now the end of September and still isn't here.
I'm still waiting on Crawford Gribben's book.
Yes, that's right. So, but we haven't forgotten about you, dear giveaway Linners. Dear, let me try
that's
again.
What you call your family, the Linners.
We haven't forgotten about you, dear giveaway winners. We'll get those books to you just as soon as we possibly have them. We thank you for your patience. I'm sure you haven't been able to move this coronavirus lockdown, fearing for whether you're going to get your book or not. But trust us, you will, so don't worry.
You will. Excellent. Well, then all that remains for us to do is to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
And we hope to hear you from you and see from you in the weeks ahead.
John, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, man, for asking me.
Thank you.
See you all the best. God bless.
Thanks for listening to PCIcast. Join us again next time for another conversation about life and faith in the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. In the meantime, don't forget to follow us on Twitter using @PCIcast. See you next time.
It's been a while, hasn't it, Craig?
Yes.
Our summer break.
Yes, it has.
Our summer break, a whole 3 months. Is that the COVID?
No.
Okay, good.